Now we're turning back to the words that we read together from the Song of Solomon, the chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, the chapter 1, to that portion of Scripture that we have just been reading. We look to the Lord just in a wee word of prayer as we have the word open before us. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee in prayer. And we acknowledge our need of thee now. We have come, Lord, to the word. We've been singing the songs of Zion, singing of thy love and of thy mercy, of thy grace, of thy saving. And now, Lord, we come to the word. And it is open before us, and we've been reading in it. But, Lord, we need now the help divine. We need that help from the sanctuary if we're going to be benefited from the word. Lord, draw near to us now, we pray. Oh, for the presence of the Lord, that the Lord might be in the midst. We'll be conscious of the Lord in the midst, standing at our very elbow. Lord, we pray that thou would close us in with thyself. Take from our minds, Lord, the things that would distract us. And the Lord be our helper. Help me, Lord. Give me again that fresh anointing that I need for the preaching of the word of God. Lord, I cannot do this in self. Lord, we need that thou thyself would stand by us. We need that help from the sanctuary. Lord, give us the fresh anointing. Give us that power of God in the place of preaching, that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that thou would give to me that sense of thy nearness. Give to me, Lord, that plainness of speaking, that all might understand what the Lord has to say to us, that everything that is required now for thy glory and for the benefit of thy people will be granted, Lord, to us from thine own dear hand. Answer prayer to this end, O God, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his honour and glory. Amen and amen. As we come to this book of the Song of Solomon, in the opening words we read that it is the Song of Songs. Now, of course, we know that Solomon wrote many songs. He wrote 1,005 songs, we are told, over in 1 Kings in the chapter 4. But this song that we are found in this morning is called the Song of Songs. In other words, it is the very best of the songs of Solomon. And, dear people, it is the best song because it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is set before us here under the picture of the bridegroom, of the beloved. And there's much said here about his love for his redeemed people. His redeemed people, the church. We are referred to here and we are pictured here under that representation of the bride. The one that he calls his love, his undefiled, his fair one, his dove. These tenderest of terms that the beloved gives to his dear one. His dove is found before us here. The bride, the church, the believer, his love to those that are redeemed is said to be in the first two better than wine. Such is the love of God that is in Christ for his people, that it is better than wine, it is better than anything that the wine of worldliness can ever give. And again we find his redeemed people love him. In the first three, and again the first four, that is what we find. We read the virgins love thee, and the upright love thee. Both, of course, giving the sense of those that are pure in heart, those that are right with God. We love the Lord. And so this Song of Solomon presents to us that loving and tender relationship between Christ and his redeemed people. I want to come to the first four, and this will be our text for today, the first four. we have already read it together. In this verse here, we have three things that we can consider, and we can consider with profit. If the Lord is pleased to grant us that sense of His presence and the application of the Word to our hearts by the Spirit of God. You will notice here, first of all, we have the prayer. This is the request of the bride to the bridegroom, to her beloved. And she says in that verse 4, right at the very beginning of it, she says, "Draw me." And dear people, this is the prayer of the saved, of those that are redeemed. When we come to the beloved Son of God, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say, "Lord, draw me." Here is the need that the bride felt to be closer to her beloved. And here is the need that the people of God feel to be closer to their Redeemer, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at this prayer, "Draw me," we can see in the background of the prayer, we can see here why it is that she should pray such a prayer. You will notice what she says of herself in that verse, or in the first 5. She says, "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." Because here we find her speaking with regard to how she feels of herself, and she looks into her own hearts. She has two things to say. She says, "I am black but comely." If you like, they're the opposites. "I am black," she says, "I am like the tents of Kedar. I'm like the coverings." The tents of Kedar were covered in the black skins of the goats. There was nothing attractive about them. There was nothing lovely about them. She looks into her own hearts and she says there, "There is nothing attractive about me. I see my own unworthiness." And as she looks into her own heart, she says, "Oh, I am black." She laments what she sees of herself. This is how she sees herself: unworthy. And yet we find she says also, "I am comely." The word is pleasant, lovely. "I am beautiful." And she says that because now she's talking about not how she sees herself, but how her beloved sees her. Her beloved has granted to her his comeliness, his loveliness. He has bestowed upon her his own loveliness. And so she's able to say, "I look at my own heart, I see my own unworthiness, but oh, I rejoice in the fact that in the eyes of my beloved, I am comely. I am beautiful." People, that's how it is with God's people. Do you see, we rejoice in what Christ has done for us. He has granted to us his own beauty, the beauty of his own spotless righteousness. He has given to us his comeliness. Over there in the chapter 16 of Ezekiel, what a powerful chapter that is for redemption. There we have God looking upon his people in the earlier verses of the chapter. He sees them in their pollution. And then he tells us he washed them. And then he tells us he clothed them. This is what the Lord has done for us. In our pollution, he saw us, he saved us, he washed us, he cleansed us in his own precious blood, and he hath clothed us. In the first 14 of that chapter 16 of Ezekiel, we read the Lord saying here about his people, to his people, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty." And here is the words that we want to see: "For it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord." God's people are beautiful not because of what they see in and of themselves, but because of what the Lord has done for them and of how the Lord sees them. And people, we are seen today in the eyes of the Lord to be clothed in the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in that. But yet, like the bride, we so often feel our own unworthiness, our own shortcomings. In various places in this song, we can see that she feels that she is not as close to her beloved as she could be, as she should be. For example, in the chapter 5 there, we can find her beloved visits with her. He comes to speak with her, to commune with her. He knocks on her door, if you like, the door of her heart. And he says, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And then in the verse 3 she says, "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" In other words, she is saying here that though her beloved desires a closeness with her, at that particular time, she is complacent, she is careless, his near presence is an inconvenience. It doesn't suit her. Oh yes, she still calls on my beloved, we can say. And she still professes her relationship with him. But she is not close to him. She is not desiring that closeness with her beloved. People, can any of us identify with that? That there are times when we know ourselves not to be as close to our beloved, to the Lord, as he would want us to be. But the bride, now in our text, is longing for a closer bond, a closer knit with her beloved. We so often feel our shortcomings, that we're not as close to the Lord as we could be, and we would pray, "Lord, draw me closer to thyself." We were singing that hymn, "I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice." We praise God for that, that we can say, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to me. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord." That's the desire of the bride here. That's the desire that we would want to have in our hearts. "Lord, draw me nearer to thee." Oh, that we might know a closer nearness walk with the Lord. Dear child of God, there's a prayer for us. And dear backslider, should this not be your prayer? You once walked with the Lord and enjoyed fellowship with your Savior, and you remember those days, but your heart is cold towards the Lord and you are walking afar off now, and you know it and you feel it, like the bride here in the first 6, she says, "Mine own vineyard have I not kept." You're backslidden today. Now, why it happened, how it happened, when it happened, that's not of greatest importance. The fact is, it has happened. It has happened, and you know it. And surely you could pray this prayer today. "Lord, draw me back to the enjoyment of walking with thee." Do you not feel, dear backslider, cold of heart? Do you not feel that that's what you should do? And here's a prayer for the unsaved. Dear unsaved, you can pray this because you know your sin. You know the vileness of it. You know the danger that you're in because of your sin. You know the gospel message so well. You know that Christ is the only Savior from sin. You know what he did in order to save the sinner. You know the story of the cross. You know, my dear friend, that you're going to hell if you continue to reject Christ. And yet today finds you with no feelings of affections for the Lord. You're still outside of Christ. You're still on that road to hell. Nearer to hell this morning than you were yesterday. My dear friend, nearer to death than you imagine. Now, here's a prayer that you can pray. You can say, Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me to thyself for saving. I haven't time to deal with it today, but in John the chapter 6, you find there, in that verse 44, we read there, no man can come to me. The Lord Jesus is saying this. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Man in his sin is inclined towards sin. But oh, the sinner can look to the Lord in his sin. And even this morning, my friend, you could say, Lord, draw me. Draw me. How does the Lord do it? Oh, for more time to look at it in that chapter 6. If you look at the first 45, he draws us by his word. It is when the word of God is taken and applied to the sinner's heart by the Spirit of God that the sinner sees his need of Christ. The sinner is able to understand his state in sin, the danger that he's in because of his sin. He's able to see Christ as the Savior, the only Savior for sinners. He's able to see the love of God in Christ. He's able to see the Savior on the cross of Calvary in his mind's eye. He's able to understand that it is only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse from sin. He's able to see and to understand that if he doesn't come to Christ for the cleansing, if he doesn't come to Christ and receive him as a Savior, he'll be lost and undone for eternity. It is the Word of God taken by the Spirit of God and applied to the heart. And my dear friend, perhaps it is here today in this house you're unsaved, or you're watching in and you're unsaved, and you're sitting with loved ones maybe that are saved. We don't know the circumstances, but there you are, you're unsaved. My dear friend, would it not be good for you today even to look to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Oh, draw me to the Savior. Draw me to the Savior. Let the word today be applied to a heart that is prepared by the Spirit of God to receive of that word. Here's something that we all can pray. Lord, draw me. You'll notice there something else. The bride says, draw me, and we will run after thee. Draw me, singular, and we, in the plural, we will run after thee. Here's the application for us. Dear child of God, as you run after the Lord, the term indicates earnestness. As you earnestly follow the Lord and walk closely with the Lord, others will join you. Others will be encouraged, and encouraged even by the mark of your closeness to the Lord, and they will join you. The bride is saying here, Lord, if you draw me, others, we will run after thee. Others will join us. Oh, dear child of God, if you walk close with God, the Lord will use your life, your Christ-centered life in obedience to the things of God. The Lord will use that, and he will use it to have others to come closer to the Lord. And dear backslider, when you come back to the Lord, others will see it, and they will join you. And dear unsaved, when you are drawn to the Lord in salvation, others will join you. Maybe there's a father, a mother, or a son or a daughter here, and you're not saved, and your family aren't saved. If by the grace and mercy of God you're brought to Christ in saving grace, then, my friend, is it not the case that others will see it and be encouraged? And they will see it, and as the Lord points it out to them, the change in your life, the joy in your soul. And it will be the means used of God to have others to join you in your pilgrimage to heaven. Dear unsaved, if you come to Christ, who knows how many more will come to Christ and join you in your walk and in your journey to heaven. Oh, for that God-given holy desire today. Lord, draw me to thyself closer and closer still. Look at the place here. Where does he bring the bride to? Here's the answer to prayer. She says, draw me. And then we read, the king hath brought me into his chambers. The Lord would show us that prayer is answered. The King of Kings has brought me into his chambers. That word chambers there, it is the word that is inner chambers. That's the Hebrew sense of the word. It is the place where he brings only his closest friends. The king brings his closest friends and companions into the inner chambers. That's where she is. That's where the child of God is brought in answer to this prayer. Into that place of close and closer communion with the Lord. Now it's very interesting this, that this word that we have for chambers, that over in 1 Chronicles 28 and the verse 11, that same word is translated parlor. The parlor. It is a place where the family sit and talk, where the closest friends are brought to. I don't know about now so much, but in years gone by, when I was a lot younger, nearly every house had a parlor. The parlor was the room where, in the evening time, the family would all gather and sit and they would talk. Or if a friend, a very close friend, came to visit, they were brought into the parlor. And that was the place of fellowship and friendship. That was the place where the family and friends gathered, into the parlor. I was thinking about that word. And I was thinking about the origin of the word parlor that is used. It comes from the French verb, and those who are familiar with French, and though I went to school and I was supposed to learn French, it didn't really work. The French verb for to talk, for to speak, is the word from which we get this. It is something like parle or parley. So here we have the Lord bringing his people into the place of closeness, of friendship, and talking together. Oh, don't lose the picture. Here is a blessing that is found here in this. It is communion with the Lord. Don't let us lose the picture of the word itself, this parlor. It is the place where we talk to our closest friends and family. It is where we can talk about what's on our hearts. We can talk about the things that have made us to be pleased and joyful. And we can talk about the difficult things, the things that trouble us. And my friend, so with Christ. He is our closest friend. He is the one that is closer than a brother. And we can go into the inner chamber with him, into the parlor, so to speak. And there in that blessed place, we can speak with him and him with us. And we can rejoice with him. And we can tell him of all that's in our hearts and of all the things that trouble us. And there he speaks to us. He brings his word before us, the precepts of his word, the promises of his word. Oh, how blessed is that place where the child of God goes to. Draw me, Lord, into that place of closeness with thee, where I can speak to thee as friend with friend. And I can tell you all that's in my heart. And everything that troubles me, aye, there's much to trouble us today, my friend. But we can bring it all to the Lord because we're in the inner chambers. We can go to that place at any time, in any situation, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. My friend, there's that closeness with the Savior. There's the place that we are. The prayer, draw me. There's the answer to the prayer, the place he draws us into the inner chambers where we can have blessed fellowship with him. Look at the pondering here. We will remember thy love. We ponder his love. What we consider, the word itself is translated by various terms. In the Old Testament, this word, remember, is also translated be mindful, it's translated to think of, it's translated to recount, it's translated to mention. Lord, here is what we have. Lord, draw me into that place. We're in the inner chambers. And we ponder. What do we think about? What do we recall? What do we mention? What do we talk about? My friend, we talk about his love. We shall remember his love. What a wonder that he should love the likes of us. Oh, it is understandable that he should love the holy angels. But the infinitely, perfectly holy Son of God, who daily is and was his Father's delight, that he should love such big lumps of sin as we are, rebels against him. My friend, what manner of love is this? We have nothing of ourselves to merit the love of God. The Bible tells us he loves us, and it tells us he loved us because he loved us. Of his own volition, he loved us. He draws us to himself in love. Over in Jeremiah 31, the third verse there, he says, "Yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Lord, draw me. And the Lord says, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." Or as we have it in Hosea 11 and 4, with the bands of love. Dear believer, how is the Savior to draw us closer to himself? It's by giving us a fresh view of his love. Dear backslider, how will the Savior draw you back again to himself? It is by giving to you a fresh view of his love. Dear unsaved, how are you to be drawn to the Savior? It is by the Lord giving to you a view of his love there on Calvary. In love he went to the cross for us. The apostle says, he loved me and gave himself for me. He came from heaven and took to himself perfect humanity, born of a woman, and he went to Calvary, the sinless Son of God, and there he did that work and finished that work that he came to do. That work of redemption by which he satisfied the justice of God on behalf of all who would repent of their sin and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a price he paid, what pain he endured, the pain of crucifixion. We remember his love. We remember his Calvary love. The hymn writer wrote a few lines picturing the scene at Calvary. Wrote there, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraise while the multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. Oh, it bows down my heart, and the teardrops will start when in memory that grey hill I see, for 'twas there on its side that Jesus suffered and died to save a poor sinner like me." Have you ever taken the time to hear the sounds of Calvary? Have you ever taken the time to hear in your mind the hammer thud and the nails driving them into the hands and into the feet of the Savior? My friend, he loved us so that he bore all of this for us. He loved us while he was dying for us. Here is unmerited love. He loved us while we were in our sin, while we were unlovable. 1 John 4 and 19, we read there that we love him. Dear child of God, we love him. And we can say with the bride, that we love him. But we love him because he first loved us. And when we didn't love him, he loved us. When we were in the pollution of our sin, vileness, he loved us. He loved us. Here is sacrificial love. We can say with the apostle, he loved me and gave himself for me. And people, here is everlasting love. As we have already seen from Jeremiah 31 in the third verse, the Lord says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, he loved us while he was on Calvary's cross. And he rose again with that same love for us. And he loves us still today as he sits in glory at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. And he will love us, my friend. Love us when he comes again. And he will come again for us to take us home to heaven. And he will come in love for us. And for all eternity, he will love us with that everlasting love. Oh, I think of how the Lord's blessed people live in the light of his love. My friend, they die in the light of his love. They die with the hand of God upon them. Blessed, tender, tender hand, assuring them of his love. And my friend, for all eternity, those who have gone home to glory, the Lord loves with an everlasting love. He will love us forever. Oh, dear people, remember his love. Think about his love. Praise him for his wondrous love. Tell others about his love. Make mention of it. But most of all, have that desire to be drawn closer and closer yet to the Lord. May the Lord apply these words by his Spirit to our hearts, that it might be profitable to us, that it might bring glory to his own dear and precious name. We'll close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy love. Oh, the love of God, how wondrous it is. The wonder of it, Lord, that thou should love us at all. But Lord, we praise thee for the word of God. Think of that wee hymn that simply says, Jesus loves me, this I know. How do we know, Lord? For the Bible tells me so. We thank thee for that. Oh Lord, we pray that we might leave this house today with a sense of thy love. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us that desire to be closer drawn to thee. We pray that the believer will know that desire, that thou would implant that desire in the heart of the backslider. And, O Lord, we pray for the poor, poor unsaved one. O Lord, we pray that they might know today the drawing of the Saviour. Even now, perhaps, Lord, there is that within their heart that would have them even to look to thee and to thee, Lord, and say, Lord, draw me a sinner. Draw me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. Oh, Lord, put such a desire within their heart today. Save the unsaved, Lord. Oh, do that work. Let that regenerating work be done. Let that saving, that redeeming work be done. Lord, bless, we pray thee this day. As we leave the house of God, we pray that thou would have us to go with and in the blessing of the triune God, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.